So I have tinnitus.
Oh no.
Yeah, I've had it for quite a while. You know what it is. It's sort of,
it's ringing in the ears, isn't it?
Well, it's mixed. It's not just ringing. I've got two high pitched whines, like, you know, electrical whine, and then I've got a lower tone, sort of right. whistling tone, and then I've got in my left ear. I have this sort of what's called pulsate tinnitus, which is where you lie in bed and you think there's a washing machine on somewhere in the house, really.
Oh.
And then sometimes of the week,
yeah,
I get another really irritating noise in my ear as well.
I already see where this is going.
Should we go on with the podcast?
Please do.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 301 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there's Joe Davis.
Hello. Hi, buddy.
See, there's that noise again.
Yeah, there it is. I can only apologise. Well, have we got a podcast for you? Because I'm going to ask Nick how he is.
I think if you're having a bad week out there, you may want to kind of, I don't know, go and do something else with this, well, listen to this podcast. I don't know. Or maybe it make you feel better about your bad week.
Yes. Yes. I check it out.
It could cheer you up simply along comparative lines. But anyway, yes, it is going to be a slightly Nick-centered one, I think, in terms of talking about how my week's gone. But do we have any specific church notices before we start?
I don't think we got any church notices. I've got a couple of extra bits, but we'll put those in after the how are you? Yeah.
Sure. After the psychotherapy bit. Well, in which case, how are you, my friend?
I should be. I'm fresh from a few lovely days in Devon, which are great, celebrating our dear friend Ali's 60th. Ali of Enneagram fan.
Oh, wonderful.
Fame for the listeners there. That was terrific. All the families together. That was nice. I tell you what, I'm living the old age dream. I started going to National Trust places and really enjoying it. Not so much the houses. I can live without the houses. Mm. It's the grounds. It's the trees. Mm. They're just incredible. I'm a bona fide tree hugger, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah. I never go in the houses, really, because I think once you've seen how one posh person has lived, you've seen them all, really.
I'll just deal with one bit of bad news. I did get a call from the doctor who said, you know that blood test you went for months ago, which they assured me they'd call me if there are any problems. Mm. He said, turns out your cholesterol is extremely high. Now, I can't understand that, can you?
What, with your lifestyle?
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
I know. It looks like I may have to start going easy on the cheese anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Sad times. I tell you what, something happened the other day and I thought, I must tell you this. So over the course of a couple of days, I visited four families to, you know, discuss funeral arrangements. Three of those four, they just wanted to talk about spirituality.
Oh, wow.
You know, the minute you sort of let slip that you're a kind of Baptist minister, but not necessarily particularly Orthodox, they want to press and probe and talk. And I just want to say, this is a very common experience for me, that there's something about grief and death that really does awaken a kind of spiritual hunger and interest in people, albeit they don't necessarily want to go to a church, although sometimes it may well be appropriate to recommend an alpha course or something. I don't really know. But
so you're saying you haven't led them to the Lord?
I think I am saying that. Or am I?
Well, I think it's understandable, isn't it? Surely at those times are the times when people start to think about the big questions, not least, you know, what happens after we die? Where do we go?
And I read a couple of posts online recently, and I think, and I wish I could remember what they were, but I can't. But it's making me thinking, people are realising that sort of, I think culture is waking up to the fact that atheism perhaps isn't delivering what they thought it would.
Yeah.
And that actually there is still a real spiritual, ever growing, in my opinion, spiritual hunger in culture abroad, really. So there you go. Mm. And the last thing of interest to say is that after the podcast, I'm going to look at a venue with someone, because there's enough friends in Worthing to say we should meet up once a month and discuss podcasty type related events. So just trying to find a suitable little venue where we could do that. It's not a church before you even start that. Nonsense.
No, it's not a church.
No, definitely. It isn't. You know that. So, anyway, that's me, and I'm fairly buoyed from just, you know, having a bit of a holiday last week. And,
lovely.
And
great.
Yeah, feeling all right, actually, which has put me in a position of pastoral care, as you know. I have been lovingly supporting you have, I like to yes. think.
in many ways, but here, unconventional ways.
But here goes, buddy. How are you doing?
Right, where do I start with this? Last week, I drove to Edinburgh and back. I drove up to Edinburgh to pick up my daughter and came back the next day. So by the weekend, I was very, very tired. And that hasn't really gone away. That's not really what the problem is, as you know, because on Monday in Oxfordshire, we had 4 inches of rain, a month's worth of rain in 36 hours.
Yeah.
Around where I live.
Yeah.
And I was driving back from a town near me, and I drove in this place which has never been flooded before. I drove in this village. The water started getting deeper, and you know, I'm in a lot of traffic. It's not that I'm alone doing it. And then it suddenly got very deep. Just around this bend, which is just an ordinary bend when you see it in real life. There's nothing special there. And I'm in the Mini, almost made it through, didn't make it through. Yeah. It stalled. And you know how it is when you break down? When you break down, you wonder, well, how am I going to get home? Or, you know, there's all these things. Obviously, what am I going to do now? When you break down in water, that is like disproportionately worse.
Right.
Because it's not only how do I get home, what do I do now? It's I've got to go and figure this out in a foot and a half of cold flood water, rainwater. So basically the car I had to get out. I pushed the car a bit, couldn't get it out. I couldn't get it towed out because nowhere would come that night anyway. And it was pouring with rain, and I was just it was desperate, it really was. I couldn't get it, and so I had to abandon it. Claire brought me home, and we made it home through more floods. You know, by the time I got home, I was shaking, you know, because it was cold, and I was in shock, and you know, you go into the shower and you just shake. So it was really miserable, and I got the car moved the next day. But I haven't heard anything more. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I might lose it. And equally, I think there would be all kinds of issues with the insurance in that situation. So I don't even know if I'll get it paid for if I did lose it. So now, you know, so I want to talk about the stories I tell in a minute because I've had a lot of time to reflect on it. But frankly, that was the start of a pretty
Keep setting the scene for us, and then we'll reflect on.
Yeah, I think so.
How much God clearly dislikes you.
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So that's awful. You know, it's just a miserable. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
No,
and it gives you a new compassion and understanding for people whose homes are flooded.
Oh,
because how awful, dreadful, terrifying that might be. Anyway, next morning, I had to arrange to get it taken away, but I couldn't go and see it because I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was for an appointment that I had been waiting for a long time, partly to do with the tinnitus, which we talked about, and partly to do with a throat problem I've had for quite a few years. And so the upshot of that was actually brilliant. NHS, fantastic. I mean, it has taken a long time to get this appointment, but it was absolutely brilliant. I felt really attended to, and you know, like an MOT from the shoulders up, really.
Great. Well, somebody called Wes Streeting because he thinks everything's broken. So,
well, I mean, you know, it's I'm sure it is broken, but all the fragments are brilliant, you know. but the upshot of that is that I now have to give up alcohol and caffeine and citrus fruits and various other things for a period of time, probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
So, you know, here I am, a lost car, my new car, a lost car, Yeah. No comforts. Noises in my ears.
Yeah.
And to cap it all, yesterday I had to give a leader session on resilience.
As this quivering wreck.
A absolute quivering wreck. It's really knocked me back this week. I've been very mad.
Yeah.
And I'd agreed to do that session because the person who was due to do it, she was absolutely stressed up on Monday. So I said, oh, look, don't worry, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those moments, isn't it, where you don't know, is it providence? Is it a God incidence? Yeah, is it just the way the universe works? Or is it actually quite a good thing for me to have done? Which I think is probably the latter, really.
Yes.
And I have to say, as I talk about it on the podcast and reflect on it, I'm probably going to sound a lot more together on it than I am in reality. Because I have been sleeping very badly on all this. Yeah. So my week has not been great, not been cheery.
No, it hasn't been cheery, even with my pastoral support, which, you know, is disappointing.
Pastoral support is absolutely wonderful. I mean, the messages of, cheer up. I feel warmed because I know I'm on the receiving end of the kind of pastoral support that I've given you in the past.
Do you know what? I knew I should have done that pastoral module at college, but there was snooker to play, so I'm sure you understand.
But actually, I just want to reflect for a little bit on the session and the resilience session and what that was like, because it was real practical theology in a way. You're right in that you're in the middle of this thing that
exactly.
is absolutely. This could cost me a shed load of money, a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to cost me a lot of money anyway, but it could be a lot of money.
Okay.
But that's by the by. The point is the uncertainty of everything. Mm. And so this book we're using as part of our team. It's a very good book actually. It's called Resilience in Life and Faith. I can't remember the authors. Tony Horsfall is one of them. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's a really good primer on a kind of Christian approach to resilience, but very practical and a lot of a good psychological stuff. I think he co-wrote it with a psychologist. And I particularly this week was supposed to be looking at, I did look at what the chapter on cognitive and creative aspects. So really it's your thinking and then your imagination and creative, I guess, activities and things like that as a way of dealing with it. And of course it goes through all the normal things. So one of the things is, they say focus on biblical truths as a way of getting through this. And I was in such a state that I was able to admit that, frankly, that's never worked for me. Because, it should work for you. You know that the Lord is my shepherd should work for you. And I can accept that as a truth.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're in a hole, it just doesn't seem to do it for me.
It sort of slides off the back of the duck, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, those truths are hard. And also, there is a way of interpreting the biblical truths where you're a wormy worm as well. So
that, I'll come on to that, because one of the things is about what meaning do we give to these events.
Yeah,
but I think I was just trying to... So I'm trying to sort of really hold on to those truths.
Yeah.
And find ones that really connect. You know, at the moment, the one that's really connecting is the Jesus prayer. Have mercy on me. But the biblical truths about God loving us, about, God being held in the palm of his hand, all that kind of stuff, all those, stuff, I don't know. I think they are true. I'm not saying they're not true. I just think these moments, they're really hard to hold on to. And sort of offering them as a kind of pill that will solve your things sometimes doesn't work.
No, I agree. I agree. It's hard to engage the sort of feeling side of who we are when it's so overwhelming, the circumstances you're in. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, the same is true of other kind of truths as well. With when you lose a loved one and people say, well, they loved you or you had great times together. That's true. Mm. That's absolutely true. But it doesn't actually stop the pain at that moment, does it? It's not an analgesic. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But good to at least recognise that and think about that.
Yeah.
The other kinds of things it was dealing with was rumination, you know, going over and over, which is a particular problem I have, going over and over and over things. So all the time I'm going over and over those events. What? Why didn't I drive a different way? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I check out the insurance? Why didn't I do this? You know, all things you can't fix.
Yeah.
And then all the things you know you have to fix as well, and try to work out how to do those, really. And so that's kind of worrying as this ongoing thing in your head. But the one you were mentioning there, but you know, it's another thing. One of the things that causes us to have greater anxiety about these things sometimes is that we attach a meaning to them beyond what is in fact just a sort of random event, really. So the meaning to this event is it could be his God punishing me for doing this podcast with a known heretic.
Obviously. Yes, indeed. not punishing me, but you.
No, you're beyond it, mate. You know that. No, what you know is why does you know they often things. You know, why have you done this? Why are you allowing this to happen?
Yes,
what's this kind of thing.
Yeah,
but other kinds of meanings that we attach to these things, like you know, well, this proves what an idiot I am.
Yeah.
Well, this just goes to show how awful my life is, or this just go, you know, that we
yes,
and human beings do that because we're meaning seeking creatures. We look for patterns.
Yeah That's absolutely true. We can be so down on ourselves when we've made a mistake, one mistake amidst a lot of really good decisions, a lot of really good work, a lot of really good, and instantly all the good stuff's wiped out, and it's like a sort of, it connects with a primal fear with deep within us that somehow we're not worthy, that we're stupid or we're rubbish.
That's it. Yeah.
God's not with it. God doesn't really like us. We, you know, it can trigger all those kind of old ways of thinking, I suppose. Yeah.
And someone I was with was saying, you know, about their view of God used to be God as a driving instructor, a driving examiner, rather.
Oh, okay.
So you're taking your driving test, and the examiner is sitting beside you, and he's not looking for reasons you should pass. He's looking for reasons to fail you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awful, isn't it? Yeah.
So I was able to talk about that. You know, the idea that our view of God informs everything. And so that my view of God hasn't changed. Obviously, look. Let's get this into perspective, and I think it's very important. At the end of the day, nobody died. I didn't even get a cold. Nobody got hurt. No, it's money. Money can be recovered. It's, you know, like Claire's been absolutely fantastic, and so you know, it's not a catastrophe like that. It's an unfortunate thing, and she kept going. It's just a car. That's all it is. Just a car. But you see, the meaning of event for me is no, it's not just a car. It's my competency.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Here. This is a story not about a car, but about an idiot.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? That's what my inner critic is telling me.
Wow.
And I have to learn not to listen to that.
Yes.
Not to attach that meaning.
It's lucky you have good friends who don't say you're an idiot and cheer up, isn't it?
what a blessing.
What a lovely thing that is in your life that you must be grateful for.
So you have to put away all those unhelpful thoughts if you can. And it's taken me 2 days at least to start to work through those things. And then the other thing about the creativity thing I thought was really helpful in this book was they were talking about stories. The way that we tell stories going forward out of this. So for me, every story was a disaster story and still is to some extent. So, you know, the story about this for me at the moment is... It's going to be terrible. It's all going to be a calamity. It's a disaster. And there's no good outcome. But the thing might get fixed. We don't know this yet.
Yeah.
I'm just catastrophizing.
Yes.
You know,
sure.
that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it made me reflect on how often my default position is not to tell a good story about events.
Yeah.
You know, one of the good stories, for example, about, well, when things don't work in the house, for example, might be, well, the good story is this is a chance to learn how to fix it.
Yeah,
that's a good story.
Yeah.
And I know that this week's been awful, but you know, a lot of people have much worse weeks, so that right. I need to get it in perspective. But you know, I'm sure good stuff will come out of it. But I'm not able to tell myself those good stories at the moment. I don't.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Because we've all seen the pictures from Lebanon this week and Palestine, and Gaza, and you know the awful things going on there. And telling yourself other people have got it worse is of no help in that moment whatsoever. All that can do is pile on a little bit of guilt onto your already, you know,
yes,
very sort of, you know, sad and down state. How can being guilty and comparing yourself with someone who's, you know, much worse off than you really improve the situation? I'm not really sure how that works. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about all these people. Of course we should, but. It to me, it's a real Job's advisor thing to try and say, hang on, just remember, you're not as bad off as other people. So, yes, you know, yes. Get over yourself.
I mean, I think anxiety just, it sort of clings on anyway, doesn't it? It's like ivy. You can't really, it's very hard to detach it. And I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily to at least get some perspective by looking at other people. So, I mean, I was... genuine when I say, you know, there've been people in this area whose homes have been flooded and that's a much worse scenario for me. And I know, you know, I was working at work, talking of stories of people who are living in IDP camps who are living in a tent that's 1.5 meters square. They've lost everything. Yeah. So I think theoretically there's a thing where that is important, I think, to register. But at this point, you can't make that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, you can't make it real. It doesn't take... You're still lying awake at night thinking, what an idiot I am.
So what sort of perspectives are helpful?
I mean, I think what's really helped has been immense love and kindness and concern and care of my colleagues and my friends and my family especially, my wife especially. You know, that's... That's what's been so touching. And I mean, even people, you know, who are so irritating in so other ways. I go downstairs, there's a package come through the letterbox and it's a gift. Nice. A book to read from you. And that's lovely. And with a lovely touching message.
I thought you'd appreciate it.
Cheer up, you miserable so-and-so. I mean, you spelt miserable wrong as well. That was the key thing. But, you know...
Apologies.
No, isn't that lovely? You're concerned. Yeah, you got the swear word right. You didn't get... Yeah, classic. That love is the good story of these things. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And again, when you're enmeshed in it, and I really don't, you know, other people will be listening and thinking, this guy does not know a bad week.
We know that. Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And I'm just speaking honestly from where I am. And I'm not meaning to compare or minimise anyone else or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's been a crap week. Mm. And what's what's helped me immensely has been the love and kindness and friendship of people.
Yeah, good. And I don't know whether this perspective helps you, but I know that when I've had weeks that perhaps even aren't as bad as this, but, you know, bad for different reasons, I do hang on to this sense of seasons.
Mm.
That there can be real, you know, miserable cold winters in our life, but that doesn't mean how the rest of your life is forever. And I somehow try to hang on to some might call it resurrection hope, but, you know, spring's coming, summer's coming. It's all right. And then, do you know what? Autumn and winter are come again. But then spring's coming and summer's coming. I'm very much a summer kind of guy.
You are. Yeah, well, I'm certainly not a rainy September kind of person. No, anyway, so that's my week and a lot of reflections on it. And, you know, I'm just sharing where I'm at, really. I think there is a good story to tell. I don't know what it will be, but I'm trying to remember that, really.
Well, listen, thank you for saying all that stuff. And thank you for doing that. And listeners, you know, I was the first one to say to Nick, look, why don't we not record this week? Just go lie down and have a nice glass of non-alcoholic wine, because that's so delicious, isn't it? but you said you wanted to go on and share it. Yeah. So that's why we're doing this. And apologies if he's a bit downbeat or you think we've lost perspective. But I'm really grateful to you, mate, for saying all that stuff and just being real, really.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and thank you for your friendship and kindness, and those who are listening who've been like that. And you know, hopefully all the stories I'm telling myself will have a twist.
Yeah,
there'll be something else in it.
Well, I do want to say something about friendship and kindness of the fabulous listeners, because it's just thank you, everyone that's written in or put a little comment on Facebook. It was so affirming for us and so encouraging to see that. I mean, we do only do this because people send in all those sort of encouraging things and asking us to go on. So thank you for that. And we totally accept that not everyone wants to stick with us, and that's fine. You journey for us as long as you think you need to, and then you go find another podcast. That's all right. We just so appreciate whoever's here at this time. Before we move on to feedback, is there a couple of things I can say?
Yeah, I've spoken at length. You
well, they're a little bit random, but they just don't fall under the category of church notices, how are you, or feedback, really. They're just little things. First is, I had a conversation with someone, one of the 17, and they were talking to me about the bravery of going to church on their own. They said, on all the times they went to church, one person said, that's very brave of you to go to church on your own. And this person was just talking about how much that meant to them and how that they really appreciated someone understanding what a difficult thing that is. And we were talking to Rachel's aunt on holiday, and, you know, she lost her husband a little while back. And she was saying that one of the most difficult things was going back to church. He was a minister. He was a Baptist minister. So it's really difficult going to church. And she talked about the walk from the gate to the church and how that was the longest walk, and how often on that walk she felt like turning around and coming back. So out of that, I wanted to say to any of the 17 who might be listening, probably only 16 now, to be honest.
yes, sorry about that.
Yeah, you should be. I want to say to, if you are one of those people who find yourself going to church on your own, walking into a room full of people or even half full of people and on your own and going through that, where do I sit and will anyone talk to me? You are very brave. That's an immensely brave thing to do, and it says a lot about your character that you are actually able to do that. And we may not have said that before on the podcast, but let's just put that right now. You are very brave if you are one of the people that do that. And well done you, and thank you. And you should give yourself a pat on the back. And you should also join Nick for a non-alcoholic wine.
Indeed.
Or yes. Something else.
Yeah, which takes a entirely different form of bravery to get through that.
I mean, the thing I'm worried about is that in all of your stuff, we've lost the fact that I've got to eat less cheese. And, you know, he's got the real sob story here. That's all I'm saying.
That is true. We didn't unpack that. Is that definitely the prognosis? Or is it there's some medication that will allow you to eat as much cheese as you like without any after effects?
I feel like dying young is a very real kind of, you know, option, shall we say, on the table.
Don't do that, because I really need the podcast money.
Now, okay, right. So here's the second thing I wanted to say, which came out of a conversation with my spiritual director. We were talking about the numinous. You understand that word, don't you?
Yes,
numinous.
Yes, yes.
So this, yeah. I think it was Rudolf Otto who wrote a book some years ago called The Idea of the Holy. And he had this word numinous, which sort of describes holiness, sacredness, that sense you get that's very hard to articulate and put into words. So, you know, I've had numinous experiences on the pier. Sometimes I've gone to the pier and just got cold and wet and felt very fed up. But other times I've gone there and had a real sense of the sacredness and the holiness of it. And my spiritual director says, oh, yeah, we call that the nooms in my house, N-U-M-E-S, as opposed to... So he says...
He's got a bit of the nooms.
Yeah, he's got the nooms, this place. And I just thought, hang on, A, I'm getting that idea and claiming it for my own. But two, I thought it would help us when we're describing an event or a place. Like, you know, you, when you're describing your churches, you can say, well, you know, yeah, it's this old and it's made of stone and there's 16th century, you know, candy floss in it or whatever you go on bang on about. I've generally phased that out, as you know. But what you could do is give it a Nooms value.
Brilliant.
And that would be of more interest to me, actually. So when you go there, what did you have a sense of the sacred? And if so, how much out of 10 or 20? I don't know what the scale should be.
Oh, that is such a great idea.
But it would give a way of us describing our experiences. This was a Nooms. It was a 16 out of 20. Or an 80. So it's High Nooms.
High Nooms.
High Nooms.
Wasn't High Nooms a Western film? Anyway, no, High Noon. Anyway, just a joke for a few cinephiles who could actually appreciate yeah, that.
No one got it.
No one.
So we need a numinometer for a start.
Oh, gosh. It's getting complicated now. Yeah,
I know. We need a numinometer. And this is a way. But I want to discuss this with the listeners because, you know, when you're writing in with some experience, if you could give it, shall we say it's out of 20? Should the numinometer?
I think it's too much. No.
Out of 10?
10, okay. I would say.
We'd
or
like
even
you
five,
to,
you know.
No, let's say 10.
Okay, 10.
We want a Nooms score out of 10 when you're describing those kind of experiences. That would be amazing.
I think this is great. I am going to steal this. Because
me too.
I think when you go into certain sacred spaces,
yeah,
a numinous is a feeling of religious awe. That's the sort of theory of it. And some of them just give you, the full-on 10 nooms straight away.
Yes.
You open the door.
Yeah. Well,
this is a new measurement. This is fantastic.
We could end the podcast here, couldn't we? We could
just, work is done.
It really is. That's it. The numinometer and the nooms. Mm. That's how we're going to describe.
It sounds like a band.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, shall we just do a little bit of feedback?
Yeah, let's do a couple,
I think we should. So Jim wrote in and... Jim said, this is great. He said, just listen to episode 293 on Roth. He did write in quite a few weeks ago, to be fair. He says, I am a few behind, though. He said, and I was reminded of a church in Belfast, where my son and family live, that has the sign outside that says this, because there is wrath, beware. And then underneath it says, you're welcome to join us for breaking of bread on a Sunday at 10:45. And he says, what is that all about?
Mixed messages, I think, is the phrase.
Because there is wrath, beware. So that could be a new strap line for the podcast.
I like it. I don't know how many nooms you'd get in those places. Do you think nooms actually go into the minus category as well? So you go to places that are so far from being numinous, they actually repel you, really.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a place with.
I can think of a few
people.
Churches.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry.
So there are churches that are zero, then it's just nothing. You don't really feel anything. Yeah. But there are churches that have actually reduced the level of religious awe you feel in life. They've actually made God feel less near.
And I can think of conversations I've had with people, and suddenly I've realised, I need to give this a Nooms score. Mm. This is a really sacred. It's a really sacred moment. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What Nooms score would you give our conversations, Nick? I think they're very holy.
I would say they peak around 3, but...
as much as that.
I don't think they ever drift into minus numbers. I've never had a conversation with you that made me dislike God.
Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, we had this from Victoria, who wrote in to say lovely things about the podcast. We so appreciate that. And then she went on to say this. 10 plus years ago, I was a worker bee. Lots of evangelism, good works, meetings, trying to live, work, parent to church standards and squeeze my questions and protests down into a charismatic evangelical framework. Then seemingly overnight, I entered my dark night of the soul. Everything spiritual that had brought joy turned to dust. I felt I was in permanent Easter Saturday, in the dark with a dead Jesus. My church tried to fix me, but what I wanted was to be understood, to understand what was happening and to be reassured that I was not alone. Thank you, Joe and Nick, for the podcast, for providing me with those three as well as laugh out loud moments. I, too, am becoming more comfortable with who I am. As an Enneagram one, it's been hard to embrace the mystery and the not knowing the answer to life and to the universe. What I have come to realise at last is there is more than one truth. There's faith and actions, Jesus and other faiths and agnosticism, your truth and my truth, certainty and doubt. Really appreciate it. And that's love from Victoria. And she just says, and she didn't go on and say, now for that Negroni. Actually, I might have mine without gin, an Americano, not to be confused with the filthy coffee. So there you are. That is
thank
from
you
Victoria.
Very much.
And thank you for all the lovely comments, Victoria, because many of the 17 did write in. I want to say nearly 10 or 11 of them.
Yeah, easily. Very high percentage. And I loved that idea. I loved that phrase of Easter Saturday faith. You're in the dark with a dead Jesus.
I thought that was absolutely brilliant. You've captured it.
Because so many people find themselves in that situation. And that's not just an Easter situation for them. That's all year. They live in a kind of permanent Easter Saturday where the thing has died.
And going back to what you were saying earlier about scripture and everything, you know, Jesus using scripture on the cross to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, Jesus is doing it. Let's just be clear on that one. I think that legitimizes the questions we have. So yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Victoria, and thank you, you all.
Yeah, and then there was one that I read that really struck me, and it wasn't intended to be read out, so I'm not going to say who it is, and I'm not going to give the real detail of it. But it was a lovely email, and she talked about her journey, but particularly about how a lot of people who are her age, around sort of 40s, had been affected by the Mike Pilavachi / Soul Survivor situation.
Yeah,
you know. And it makes them wonder whether those experiences were real. And it also makes them distrustful of big events and sort of stadium-type Christianity. But the thing that struck home was she called it that she was going through the menopause.
That is so brilliant. The menopause.
Which is when these big praise events, obviously, they're just losing all attraction for you. And I suppose you can have the male menopause as well. But, you know, I think for it, what a great
it's brilliant. And I do think that could have been an alternative title for this podcast, The Menopause.
The Menopause. I mean, it's although they might have thought we were Irish worship leaders, as in menopause. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I think The Menopause is brilliant for what you're going through. So thank you, anonymous person. Really appreciated your email.
Thank you for that. And thank you, everyone, again, who wrote in. I'm sorry we're going saying thank you a lot. But actually, encouragement and kind words has really meant a lot this week. So
it's so handy.
We're very appreciative of you all. Yeah. And thank you for all of you for listening still. And we hope there's a nugget somewhere there. Maybe the numinometer. Maybe the giving. Maybe you want to give a score. You know, you want to check out the nooms on some of your experiences.
What worries me is they might want to rate each episode.
Oh, no, don't do that.
According to its Nooms rating.
I don't know that we're necessarily after becoming a numinous place, are we? I don't know. I think it's when you're particularly sort of checking out sacred spaces. So I tell you what, I could give the Wilderthorn gig a Nooms score, because I definitely had the Nooms there, especially when the barn owl flew over.
Pretty high, I would think.
Very high. Very high Nooms at that event.
I imagine you now sitting there with something like a little Geiger counter.
Yes.
You know, as it goes through, and then suddenly when the barn owl goes through, it goes way up high.
Oh, that'd be great. You know. Surely someone could do a Nooms app, couldn't they? I don't know.
Sure they will.
Anyway, we should go, I think.
We should. Thank you very much for listening, as ever. I do apologise if today has been rather sort of self-centred.
You're so British. It's great.
I do, really, because people have problems of their own without listening to mine. But I hope there was something in there that was helpful. Yeah. I'm sure there was somewhere, because God works in mysterious ways.
Amidst all the unhelpful stuff, we hope there's one thing, perhaps.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for contributing. Thanks to those who support the podcast. That's fantastic. Thanks to those who recommend it. Please carry on doing so. And we'll be back bringing the nooms next week.
Great.